Wow, those songs go along with the message so well today. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I want to encourage all of you to come to the fellowship next Sunday. We had a great time on Mother's Day. Just to reiterate, donuts for Dad. It's going to be fun. So it's for everybody. If you don't even come to Connection Group, come early next Sunday at 10:30. Be a part of that. You don't want to miss it. Wow, exciting week. And buddy, it's been good to worship the Lord this morning. Hope your eyes have been focused on Him and all that He's done for us. It's been exciting. Well, I don't know if you know this about me. Are you listening? I once was an amoeba in for a swim. And then I was a tadpole with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree. And now I am a professor with a PhD. Now we laugh about that. Do you know some people believe that garbage? That's the lies of evolution. And boy, it has deceived men and women about the existence and character of God. It makes men think that they have no need of God. And the person now, if they're blind to the fact that they are accountable to the Creator, you know, if a man thinks that he just evolved, why should he worry about what God has to say? The reason is God, or man, was never designed to be his own God. We are created to be in submission to an all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty, eternal God. Read Genesis 1:1 with me and say it loud. Ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't believe in the Big Bang. I believe in a big God who had a big voice and that He spoke everything into existence. He made it out of nothing. He alone set things in motion. Only God can tell us about the beginning because God was the only one there. Now, it was in three persons. Remember at the creation, He said, "Let us make man in our image." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were the only ones there. Hebrews 11:3. And I didn't know Wes was going to, I didn't look at the order, I guess, good enough. But here's my first verse. Ready? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. They were formed at God's command, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Only God can make something out of nothing. Nothing is too hard for my God. How about your God? Amen? My God is able. Here's a great verse, Jeremiah 32:17. I'm going through a lot of verses today. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. It is much easier for us to believe in a master designer, God Almighty, than to believe everything came to be out of chaos or by chance. I choose to go the Bible way, amen? Now, the kids this week in Bible school, they're going to be learning the seven C's of history. Let me give those for you real quick. Number one, creation. Pastor Colton's going to be teaching that tonight. Corruption. What is that? Sin in the garden. Catastrophe. Boy, that's the worldwide flood. Confusion, the Tower of Babel. Christ, he's going to talk about Christ's sinless life. The cross, of course, His death and resurrection. And then His consummation. That's where He will reign as King forever and ever. And boy, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to live with Him for all eternity. How many are looking forward to the consummation? That's a big fancy word for eternity. We're going to be with Him forever. That's the seven C's, and the kids are going to be going through it this week, but today I want to put it in a nutshell for you. And I just want to clearly say that I believe our God is truly an awesome God. And you're going to see that today. Number one, God is the good creator. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies or his compassion are over all his works. What's that mean? All that he has made. His original creation was complete, and it was very good. It was full of life. It was full of peace. It was full of joy. He provided light for us to see by. Air for us to breathe. How many are you breathing this morning? By the way, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. He provided the air, or light, air, vegetation for us to eat, stars for us to study and look at and be amazed by, animals for us to enjoy, a creation for us to care for. Psalm 33, verse 5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. His creation reflects his goodness. For a few moments, I want you to imagine yourself strolling through the Garden of Eden. The flowers fill the air with glorious fragrances. The serpents hanging on the trees, wow, they fill you with delight because they're so shiny. They got bright colors. They got silky, smooth skin. You gently stroke the thick fur of a large bear. Tanya, you could do that. She loves bears. She could do that in the Garden of Eden. But now we live in a fallen world, a world that has been corrupted by sin. A serpent's slithering past your feet would bring great fear. At least it would for me. Can I have a witness, all right? Woo! How about this one? You go to pick a rose from a bush, and you prick your finger with the thorn. A lion creeping up behind a lamb is just seeking whom he may devour. That's the reality that we live in. We see the effects of sin in our world today. Now, although all creation is shouting, you know what creation is shouting? There is a God. Many can't comprehend the goodness of God because of what they see today in this sin-cursed world. But I want to remind everyone, Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him, his quality, his character, his attributes, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. There is a God being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his divine nature, so that they are without excuse. You know what that tells us this morning? No one has an excuse for not knowing God, because every one of us can see God reflected in his creation. We are accountable to Almighty God. We need to submit to him. That should be our response. Psalm 107, verse 1, read this with me if the guys get it up there. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Say it right here, ready? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How about this one? Psalm 107, verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. He created everything for his glory. We are made in his image. Hey, we should represent our Creator well to those around us. He is the good Creator. Can you say that with me? Ready? The good Creator. Number two, God is our righteous judge. After every tragedy, have you noticed this question being asked? If there is such a good and loving God, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? You ever heard that before? You ever thought about it? See, as the righteous judge, God established rules for his creation to follow. The standard to which he held his creation is himself. What is that? Absolute righteousness. With one bite of fruit, Adam fell short of the standard. And with every act of disobedience, we too fall short. Because God's absolutely pure. How many believe that? God is absolutely holy, untouched by sin. So he cannot approve of our sin. So there is a penalty for falling short of his standard, and that's death. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. In other words, everything he does is just and fair. We serve a righteous judge, a God of truth, and without iniquity. He does no wrong. Just and right is he. Now, as the righteous judge, he had no choice but to carry out the punishment that he had set for breaking his rules. He imposed a sentence from which we have no means of escaping on our own. Do y'all know what that is? The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. Now, when a murderer is given a sentence for his crime, do we blame the judge who sentenced him? No. Psalm 89:14, justice and judgment are the habitation of the foundation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So the corruption that entered into the world as a result of Adam's sin, the catastrophe that came upon the world in the form of a flood, that resulted from God's judgment, but it's not his fault. It was a judgment for our sin. The answer to why is so much pain and suffering in the world? It's a result of living in a cursed world, which is the deserved punishment for sin. How many believe we have a good creator? Amen? How many believe we have a righteous judge? Number three, God is the infinite sustainer. Boy, it's easy to pat ourselves on the back about what we've accomplished, how much we've done. This attitude is very prevalent at NASA. How many are space fanatics, all right? I read this week. A tour of the Kennedy Space Center in Florida provides a glimpse of these massive machines, this crazy, impressive technology that NASA scientists have produced. They're brainiacs. They know what they're doing. During one segment of the tour, the narrator says something like this. Ready? With man, nothing is impossible. Wow. Another narrator, an astronaut, affirms this attitude. He says this, whatever we can conceive, we can achieve. Now, do such arrogant statements kind of shock you? Well, it shouldn't. Y'all remember the story in Genesis 11, verse 4? And they said, go to or come, let us build us, in other words, for ourselves, a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, boy, high in the sky. Let us make us a name, boy, this is going to make us famous, lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Boy, they're united. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Do y'all realize this is just a little over 100 years since the flood? And we see another rebellion that has very far-reaching consequences. God had directed mankind to what? Disperse all over the earth. They instead schemed to build this great city and this high tower. They wanted to be famous. They wanted to remain together. They wanted to defy God's command. Remember, at the time of the Tower of Babel, the entire population spoke one language. People arrogantly thought they could achieve whatever they wanted. However, God judged their rebellion by bringing about many different languages, causing them, guess what, to do what he commanded, to scatter all over the earth. Why does mankind today have the same philosophy as they did back then? Nothing will be restrained from us. Anything that we can imagine, we can do. It's because ever since the temptation in the Garden of Eden, y'all remember what Satan said to Eve? He said, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. And now mankind has the same philosophy in rebellion against God. They are trying to be God, little g. Now, what should our attitude be? You got to remember that God is the infinite sustainer of everything. Like I said last week, apart from Him, we can do nothing. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us everything else. In Him, we live and we move and we have our being. How many recognize this morning your continual need for Him? We need to carefully reflect any glory that might come our way, reflect it back to God. Teach our children and our grandchildren to do the same thing. Don't pat yourself on the back. Give praise and glory to Almighty God. He is the one that provides everything for us. Boy, here's a good scripture to remember. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, things we can see, and invisible, things we can't see, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Say it with me, church. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things. That means He existed before everything else. And by Him, all things consist. He holds all creation together. He is our infinite sustainer. He is our good creator. He is our righteous judge. Number four, He is our sovereign Savior. Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything in it. The world and they that dwell therein. That means the people also belong to Him. God told Noah to put a door on the side of the ark. By faith, Noah and his family entered the ark. Once they were inside, what'd God do? He shut the door. Now, what's significant about this? Because after God shut the door, the time of judgment was at hand. Only those that had gone through the doorway would be saved. No one else could enter once the door was shut. Now, God commanded the construction of the ark as a means of saving Noah and his family and anyone else that would have come. But Noah and his family had to obey God's command, build the boat, and then enter into the boat. The ark is a picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. God has provided a way, but we got to go through the door. How many believe Jesus is the door of salvation? He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He gave up His life for us on the cross. We sang about it all this morning. He died so that we could be set free. He was the sacrifice that we needed to wash away all of our sins. So He's the door. And I'm so glad my Bible says, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, that means you've got to believe that Jesus is God. And that you believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, we will be saved by grace through faith. It is amazing grace. God has provided salvation through His Son, Jesus. Our responsibility is to go through the doorway, and God will save us. Now, how many of you are listening for the warnings of His judgment? How many hear me preach the gospel? And are you paying attention? Are you heeding the judgment that is coming and the warnings? Because after we're raptured out of here, if you're saved, those that are left behind are going to go through 7 terrible years of tribulation. You think right now is bad? I got news for you. It's going to get worse. And then you're going to have 1,000 years in hell. And then you're going to have all eternity in the lake of fire. That's the coming judgment. But buddy, if you're saved, you're going to miss all that. Can I hear a hallelujah right there? Woo! We're going to miss all of it. But hey, knowing that that's the judgment to come, who's going to enter through the door of salvation? Today could be the day of your salvation. We want you to be saved. Who's going to believe in Jesus' death and resurrection to wash their sins away? Because very soon, listen, God is going to close the door. And you've heard the gospel because you've attended our church. You know what Jesus has done for you. You need to be saved today. I wonder, are you ready to meet our sovereign Savior? Boy, He is large and in charge. He is the ultimate ruler. But He also died on the cross for our sins. He is the door to salvation. I got one more. God, this is my favorite part. He is the loving Redeemer. Now, I'm going to make some statements here. You can say amen. You can shout. Doug, if you want to say woo-hoo, you're going to love it. Are you ready? The one who created a very good world is the one who will restore His creation to its original glory. If you believe that, say amen. The one who breathes into Adam the breath of life is the one who gives eternal life to His children. The one who killed animals to cover up the sin of Adam and Eve is the one who came to bleed on the cross for sinners. The one who sentenced the first man to death for his rebellion is the one who came and suffered the sentence of death on behalf of all mankind. The one who placed a curse in the creation, the one who placed a curse on the creation is the one who came to redeem His creation from the curse. Come on now, let this sink in. Let me say that one again, ready? The one who placed a curse on the creation is the one who came to redeem His creation from the curse. Wow. The one who confused the languages at Babel is the one that every tribe, every nation, every tongue will one day bow down and worship. The one who scattered His people around the world is the one who commands us as His followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of all the nations. The one who created time is the one who stepped into time so that He could live as a human, came in the form of a baby. The one who provided an ark for Noah and his family is the one who provided the Savior of the world. The one who promised us to send someone to crush the old head of the serpent is the one who fulfilled the promise by rising from the dead. The one who judged the world with fire will one day judge the world with, the one who judged the world with water is also the one that will one day judge the world with fire. I got one more. The one who created the heavens and the earth is the one who will create a new heaven and a new earth where we're going to dwell with Him forever. Why has God done all this? John 3:16. That's the best summation I can give you. Say it with me, ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Put the words up there, guys. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Sing it out, church. Thank You, my Father, for giving us Your Son and leaving us Your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Sing it one more time. Ready? There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving us your Spirit till the work on earth is done. He's done so much for us. Let's live for him. I want you to listen to a song. This is one of the kids' songs this week. But this song has blessed my heart so much, I wanted you to hear it. Our kids are learning it. They'll learn it this week. But this puts the whole story in a capsule for you. How many believe he's a good creator? How many believes he's the righteous judge? How many believe he's the infinite sustainer? How many believe he's the sovereign savior? And that he is the loving redeemer.